tonight, immediately after this shorter than usual sermon. As I think most of you probably are aware by now, we'll be celebrating an infant presentation rite for young Lior. Infant presentation rites and infant baptism rites are often seen as just celebrating the arrival of a lovely baby. But these rites are intended as parts of a process of Christian initiation, a process of being inducted into the life and faith of a community of the followers of Jesus. Churches like ours don't baptise babies because we believe that the commitment to follow Jesus is not something that we can impose on Lior or decide for him. So our rite is more specifically understood as launching a process of invitation. What we can do is commit ourselves to passing on the faith to Lior in both our words and our actions, living it with courage and joy so that he might see it and recognise it as the pathway to life in all its fullness. Now, obviously, we will bless Lior and pray for him tonight too, but the promises or vows are all about what we will do, not about what he will do. He'll sort that out for himself in due course. And tonight, by coincidence, the words that we heard from Jesus in the Gospel reading speak quite directly to this. I love it when those coincidences happen. They opened with a question about what it takes to lead one another on the path of faith, and closed with a picture of laying down firm foundations to live by. These sayings were the conclusion of a great sermon from Jesus, the rest of which we heard over the last two Sundays. It opened with the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are poor, hungry, weeping, and persecuted. And woe to those who are prosperous, well-fed, contented, and popular. And then last week we heard the call to be loving and merciful in ways that are generally regarded as absurd, irresponsible, and even impossible by most people. Loving and blessing even those who despise us and are determined to ruin our lives. And then tonight we hear Jesus ask, what's the point of calling me Lord if you're not going to follow these things that I'm saying? If you want to lay a foundation that will hold when the going gets tough, you can't just hear my words, you've got to act on them and put them into practice. In its context then, this call to put Jesus' words into practice relates specifically to what we had just heard. Turning our backs on the very things that most of the world aspires to, like prosperity, comfort, happiness and popularity, and breaking free from the endless cycle of treating others the way they treat us, instead of showering love and mercy on all, regardless of what they do. So with that in mind, let's take a quick tour through the images that Jesus uses to make this point in tonight's reading. And I'll be quoting them from a more conventional translation to what we actually heard read. But he begins with a proverb or a saying that was so catchy that it's still used regularly today. The blind leading the blind. It's no use the blind leading the blind, Jesus says. They'll both end up in a ditch. Now, if Robert were here tonight, he would probably tell us that people with visual impairments learn a lot from one another. And as Lior grows up and learns to cope with his hearing impairments, I'm sure he will benefit greatly from the wisdom and guidance of others who've lived with similar conditions for longer. But in a way, that just proves the point. In a good guide, you want someone who has gone this way before and can see where both they and you are going. Fairly straightforward image. I once witnessed an epic fail by a guide dog who walked straight underneath a road worker's barricade and so crashed the handler into the barricade. Now, those dogs are trained not to walk under anything less than the height of the handler. So clearly that dog lost concentration for a moment and stuffed up big time. actually just as well the barricade was there. Now, I'm a dog trainer in my leisure time, so I know that just like us, dogs are never perfect, and probably that dog got it right 98% of the time. But in that particular moment, it was the blindly distracted leading the blind. Jesus, too, knows that even the best teachers and guides are not going to get it right 100% of the time. And he warns us to avoid taking our lead from those who don't get it right very much at all, from those who aren't putting words into practice, into action. So then he goes on to say that the disciple or the apprentice is unlikely to get any better than their teacher, but if the teacher does a really good job, the student might catch up. Liesl, although she doesn't often demonstrate it here, is actually an extremely accomplished musician. And most musicians who have got as good as Liesl have gone through several teachers in the process of getting there. Because usually it's not the most accomplished teachers who are teaching the beginners. So the most gifted students end up having to move on to another teacher and perhaps then another once they reach the level that begins to exhaust the expertise of their teacher. All being well, all of us will have things that we can teach Lior as he grows. And we hope and pray that others can teach him what we haven't yet learned yet or to put into practice ourselves. None of us are going to get it right. None of us are going to be the ultimate teacher who can lead him all the way. Next comes another of Jesus's more memorable and humorous word pictures. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye but do not notice the log in your own? It's supposed to be funny. Or in other words, what are you doing judging other people's faults when you haven't got your own house in order? I've been reading some of the teachings of the early desert fathers and mothers recently, and some of them used to say that if you're giving proper attention to addressing your own faults and your own needs to change and grow, you probably won't even be noticing those of anybody else. If you're focusing on yours, you won't have time to notice other people's. Certainly, if we think about what sort of person we hope Lior will grow to become, I have no doubt that we would all rather that he followed our example on the days when we are properly taking responsibility for our own behaviour and our own growth, rather than following our example on the days when we are being picky, judgmental and self-righteous. We'll all have both of those days. We hope he learns to be discerning. The next saying really gets to the root of the issue. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit, for each tree is known by its fruit, and so it is with people. Children are very good at spotting frauds. We could give Lior all the good teaching in the world, but if the fruit that he sees us producing is self-righteous, judgmental, divisive, it'll unfortunately be the fruit, not the words, that make the biggest impact on him. Which is why Jesus sums up his message here by asking, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I tell you?" Probably nowhere has this been more apparent than in relation to what Jesus teaches in this sermon about loving those who despise us, turning the other cheek, and giving generously to all, and refusing to crush our enemies. Most of us fall short here. I know I do. I know that I have often put a lot more energy into researching elaborate theories about what these words of Jesus meant in their original context than I have into working out how to actually put them into practice in my own life. I'm not criticising careful study of these words, but when it doesn't lead on to practice, to producing good fruit, that study can be simply self-indulgence. All that study can be a little bit like going to the gym. If you spend an hour a day working out in the gym, in that hour you haven't produced anything of value for anyone. But if you take your increased fitness and strength and put them to work in gracious service of others, then the workout was totally worth it. Similarly, you can study the Bible and the teachings of Jesus until you know them inside out, but it will be nothing but mental masturbation unless you actually put those words into practice in a life that is loving, liberating, and reconciling. We hope to see Lior's young life built on a solid foundation. And the best contribution that we can make to that is to model lives built on a solid foundation. And Jesus is quite clear in his final illustration that strong foundations are not laid by accumulating more and more words, more and more fine teachings, but by putting the words and teachings of Jesus into practice. As long as there is a gap between our words and our practice, learning more words will only make the gap worse. There will unavoidably be more words now as we celebrate this presentation, right, with Lior? But let them not be mere words. Let us work and pray to be people who Lior will see turning these words into a rich, shared life of mercy, grace, and liberating life.